Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we're going to get into Derrick Henry here in just a second. But speaking of Derrick Henry, his college football coach, Nick Saban, apparently went on the radio this morning in Alabama with, I think, Greg McElroy and Cole Kubelik and said, quote, last year was a rebuilding year for Alabama. They won 13 games, won the division, won the conference, and the quarterback won the Heisman. That was a rebuilding year.
Who said this?
Saban.
Saban said the word rebuilding.
That's what he said.
Good Lord, man. Just our overlord, Nick Saban.
That's what he said. The responses are awesome to this week. Somebody said, well, this would be so funny if it weren't so sad.
It's coming from the sad thing is all those things are true that you said. It can't possibly be a rebuilding year, but I actually like
they're going to win the national
right.
They're going to win the national championship.
Yeah, they're going to win it this year, so it's going to still be one of those. Well, they just had to build up to this year with their outrageously ridiculous team of 2021.
So there you go. If you're an Alabama fan, I guess some good news. Nick Saban says last year was a rebuilding year, so I guess that means he's pretty confident in this year heading into the season. 615-737-1025. So, Joey, I've brought this up before, but I think it bears repeating, and it's borderline incredible to me how we look at Titans training camp, we talk about the quarterbacks, we talk about Malik Willis, Treylon Burks, all these different storylines, and there's Derrick Henry sitting over there. Just doing his thing, and we just say, all right, we'll see you, Derek, when the season starts. Had a major injury last year. People around the league seem to think that he may just be done. Like, his days of being an elite running back are over at this point. And here we are just kind of glossing over Derrick Henry. And my question to you is, as you view him heading into this season and how it relates to the Titans and the window to win, all the things we've talked about this week, in your mind, for his legacy, for this team, everything included, what does Derrick Henry have to prove this year in your mind? To himself, to the outside world? Take it wherever you want to take it.
Well, it's an interesting thought on what he would have to prove to himself. I guess that would be just that he is past the injury, because he can say he feels great and he's past it, and it certainly looks like he does and is, but the bottom line is he's got a bunch of screws and a plate in that foot, and he's never had a serious injury before, and so as hard as he has worked to get ready for this opportunity, the reality for most people, and two things. One, at that position at that age, with that kind of usage. And two, after having a serious injury. So I think the proving is to everybody else. But it's an unknown for him, too. I mean, like Julio Jones didn't intend for, it's a different situation, but didn't intend for the hamstring of 2020 to continue to be the prevailing issue in 2021, but it was. And your body just, especially playing this game, can go quickly on you. So I think certainly he's motivated when he hears people ask him about carries and about the injury and all that stuff.
Workload, all this other
stuff. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that it fuels him. I'm sure, though, in the back of his mind somewhere, it's like, how much longer do I have? I mean, you don't know to play at that level. Right now, that's one thing about camp that, like, to me, it's like Ryan Tannehill or these known commodities, for example, as we've talked about. That's fine. They're out there. They're getting ready for the season. Let's see what they do in real time. But I will say with Derrick Henry, just watch him out there, like, just for me, there's an excitement about, man, we're going to get to still watch this guy at a super high level run the football. And it's just going to be fascinating to see if he can do a whole season and be that guy again. I mean, I like his chances while acknowledging that the next injury could be around the corner.
Well, to me, as I view this conversation, I think about it in terms of his legacy. And I think about it in terms of the Hall of Fame, because I think we would all agree, if he stays healthy last year, and he finishes where he was on pace to finish, which was right around 2,000 yards again. I think at the time he got hurt, he was actually on pace to break the all-time rushing record in the season. So if you would have gone a three-year stretch of 1,540 yards, 2,000 yards, and then breaking the all-time rushing record the next season after, to me, I don't know if it would have totally locked up Canton, but it would have been pretty darn close. Like, he'd have been – he's probably a Hall of Famer at that point. And then the injury happens, and he gets stopped on 937 yards last year. I think you can still make a case that he's been the best player at his position for a 3-4 year period at this point. So, look, maybe he could never have another big season again, and there's at least consideration. Maybe he plays long enough where he starts to get to the 10,000, 11,000 yard mark, and you start to consider it in today's era as well, which I think will factor into this discussion. But to me, if he comes out this year and has another big year, and let's say he finishes, maybe it's not 2,000, but it's 1,600, 1,700, somewhere in that neighborhood, like, the Hall of Fame discussion is right back on track in terms of that's probably going to be his final destination one day, is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, is he going to be the same player coming off the injury? We've read off, you know, the Bill Barnwell piece. There were several pieces. Football Outsiders had a piece over the offseason of maybe some underlying numbers that are concerned for Derrick Henry as he moves into this year. And I hear all that, and I think there's some validity to it, but I also watch that guy play and think to myself, he's just a special, special guy. And another big year, and I think he's right back in line for the Hall of Fame. That's what I think of when I think of this year for him.
Yeah, well, that is really the answer, is that when you talk about proving, he wants, you know, he wants to win, he wants to continue his career, wants to get another contract, but that is a big part of things moving forward for him too, is can he get into Canton? And I'm totally with you. I think that there's just no way to keep him out if he goes for 2,000 last year. There's no way. No one's ever done it. No one will ever do it. And, well, he didn't do it. And one way or another, the year after 2,000 yards, for most people, it's at least obviously a big drop. And for a lot of them, it's like fall off the table.
Well, and that's the thing. Here. And his is going to be viewed the same way as a fall off the table. And the thing is, it really
got
wasn't
a thousand and a half
until
season.
He got hurt. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, everybody's going to, at the end of it, they'll look at it and they'll say, wow, Derrick Henry went from 2,000 yards to 937 the next year. And it's like, well,
look how many games.
He's on pace to really blow that thing apart.
Yeah. But if he comes out, like if he wins like the rushing title this year, which I think is possible, the way the Titans are built, I mean, I think we're probably looking at, if you tell me that Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor are going to be, you know, both healthy and active all season long, or the same amount, or most of the season, I think it's probably between those two for the rushing title. Someone could come up and surprise, like a Nick Chubb could.
Yeah.
There's other.
I really think it's those three. Like Dalvin Cook, maybe. But
yeah.
even him, like. It's just the way the offense runs. Like, they've got Justin Jefferson and Thielen up there. Like, they're going
to
throw the ball.
And they throw to Cook a lot.
Yeah.
So, just as the rushing title. Like, if Derrick Henry wins another rushing title after that injury, when people are closely looking at the career, like you said, the big thing that's underrated, I think, by some is the where were you at your position in your time. And that, for him, is he's got an ironclad case. And I think there's – probably a little bit of a difference with him and Eddie George. And I think also another big playoff game would be big. Because, look,
for
it
sure.
has been three straight games that he's been pretty well locked up
yep.
by three different teams.
After two of the best games we've seen by a running back in the history of the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah. So if he can come back and have a big game and a playoff win, that would be big too. But bottom line for me on him is I'm just really excited to watch him play this year. I think it's – the way he's cutting, yeah, big, strong, fast, all that stuff, but the way he's cutting, doesn't look like there's anything different.
We'll take your thoughts on Derrick Henry. What does Derrick Henry have to prove this year in your mind? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain as well. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. School is back in session for some. We were all kids once, showing up on that first day of school in new clothes, new shoes, ready to go. Was a big deal. It still is, but there are thousands of children in Middle Tennessee who are going to be embarrassed on that first day because they don't have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We want to change that here. Souls for Music City is our cause. Please consider joining us with a simple $20 donation. That's all it takes to put a new pair of athletic shoes on the feet of a homeless child in Middle Tennessee. Just text DONATE to 615-737-1025. That's DONATE to 615-737-1025. Right now, and help make a difference in the life of a single child. Once again, that's DONATE to 615-737-1025. And thank you for your support on that as well. Talking Titans, talking Derrick Henry, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What does Derrick Henry have to prove this season, and what do you make of his legacy and what's on the line this year? Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, Henry doesn't have to do much moving forward as far as legacy for Hall of Fame. He's one of the very few running backs that will even be considered for the Hall of Fame in the next decade, so he'll get in. As a fan, he has to carry us in four straight playoff games to avoid a mediocre quarterback from having a meltdown. This is from Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
Wow. Well, it's been a while since we've had some Tannehill slander, but hey, why would anyone criticize Tannehill? He's been amazing in training camp, and that's really what it's about.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting point, Heidi, on because there won't be a lot at his position, that makes him a lock. I don't know that I totally agree, but it's worth considering. The thing is, I think there are going to be backs from this era who get in or have a chance or are in the discussion.
It's just going to look different.
But they're just, they're not going to have the raw rushing totals. But if you tell me a guy like Alvin Kamara can do what he's been doing for another bunch of years, and team success is part of the equation here, I think there's a guy who has the goods to potentially be in there. Who in recent history, Zeke was on a great track. I think that's fallen off.
Well, there's Adrian Peterson who just retired, but he's in a different classification.
He can just wrap himself in gold jackets right now. That's an easy one. Anyone else who recently hung it up who didn't have that long of a career who might be in consideration? There's got to be somebody we're not thinking of.
I'm racking my brain right now.
But there's no one that obviously comes to mind. That's interesting. So I guess from that perspective, if it's sort of like, gosh, there's no running backs anymore, put them in. I suppose that, but it's not like, I don't think that they go about this thinking in terms of, well, we need so many quarterbacks, we need so many defensive ends, et cetera, et cetera. But certainly, I think the point there, that just the fact that he is clearly the best of an era. And if he wins a rushing title or even gets close this year, if he has two really good years in the last two of his deals with the Titans, then he's that guy. Now, hey, maybe Jonathan Taylor takes it past that, but you can also have more than one running back in that is allowed.
Nate on the text line says, if Derrick Henry plays like he has in past years for the next two seasons but never wins a ring, what would his legacy be? This is from Nate on the text line.
When I answered Nate, I said his legacy would be a great player. I mean, there's plenty of great players in the history of this league who didn't win rings. Usually it's the quarterbacks who sort of get probably too much credit and blame for rings or not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but Dan Marino's an example of a quarterback who got to the Super Bowl one time, didn't win a ring. No one is disputing that he's one of the great quarterbacks of all time, or I sure hope no one's disputing that. And then I think, you know, at other positions, not quarterback, I think there's also just a lot. Like, again, no one's disputing that Barry Sanders is an all-time great player. And there's a lot, you know, there's plenty of great players at all different positions who don't have a ring.
By the way, Lance texting in Frank Gore on the text line. I mean, he's...
Well, he's another one of those freaks who played forever.
He played forever, and he's a little bit different to me. Like, first off, he stretches... His era, quote-unquote, stretches over a long period of time.
Yes.
Because of how long he was in the league. But even him, like, he had some great seasons. But he also, a lot of his numbers are from longevity as well, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think what we were talking about is, you know, players at really the top of the league, whether that's rushing, total yardage, whatever, for a short period of time, is there anybody that stands out that they could get in? I guess that also depends on your definition of short period of time. Like, is Derrick Henry right now a short period of time? He's a two-time.
For his position, no.
For his position, no. Like, he's a two-time NFL rushing champion. He was the best back in the league last year before he got hurt. I mean, even in 18, when Ezekiel Elliott won the rushing title, you know, that back half of 18, Derrick Henry was pretty darn good. So it's an extended period of time now where he's been at or near the top of the league.
Somewhat recent, you know, backs, you know, recently retired. Yeah, because I think Frank Gore at 16K, I think it's going to be hard to keep him out.
Oh, he's getting it.
Yeah. Steven Jackson, done in 2015, 11-4. I don't think he's going to get in. He had a very good career. LeSean McCoy, he's 20. I mean, Steven Jackson's 18th all time. LeSean McCoy's 22nd all time, 11,102, retired in 2020. Good player. I don't think he's getting in.
But this also goes back to the discussion of, like, was Steven Jackson at any point ever considered the absolute best running back in the league? Maybe by some, but how long?
Per my fantasy drafting, he may have been held in very high regard by some.
I'm sure he was.
But he always seemed to disappoint me, too. I would say probably not. I would also go back to, like, okay, in 2008. Well, that's the thing. So who was the best back?
LT was in the league.
LT. Yeah. I mean, Adrian Peterson was early in his career. So the answer is no. But there aren't a ton of
options. He did have 8 consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards.
I mean, that's pretty freaking good. It's consistent. And that's the thing. If you have that consistency and then you go a little bit longer and have a little bit more production, I think you have a chance. Marshawn Lynch had a great run, right? I mean, he had he got 10,000 yards. He had a long career. He had a great stretch there. Maybe if Pete Carroll gives him one more handoff than he got,
maybe
there's
Pittsburgh Steelers Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he was. I'm not talking like Hall of Fame, but like that's the type of guy that we were talking about. Like a brief period of time. Who maybe the rushing numbers, he's got good rushing numbers, maybe not great ones.
But he was all around
really, really good.
Yeah, if Le'Veon Bell, look, did Le'Veon Bell with his contract stuff and his insistence on getting out and being and having a free, did he cost himself the Hall of Fame? Because I'll tell you, if he had like 2-3 more years of what he'd do it, then you're really talking about something.
Yeah.
But now the way it turned out, no.
Like he's not getting in.
Oh, no. But I mean, if he kept doing that a couple more years, it gets interesting. And you know, some of the other, you go through and like Zeke is sitting there at, I mean, gosh, is Zeke now behind Derrick Henry on the all-time rushing? No, Derrick Henry is still behind Zeke, about 1,000 behind him. You know, but obviously there's totally different trajectories. Well, not a good trajectory for Zeke, although it's funny. Jerry Jones is sitting there talking like, it's all about Zeke. Even though I'm like, you sure? I think you might want to give Pollard the ball a little bit through the Cowboys. But I don't know. Jerry Jones is – Zeke's getting the ball 30 times a game.
Yeah, he is.
Per him.
That's right. Jerry Jones knows what he's doing down there.
Hey.
Watch out, Mike McCarthy.
Can't argue with those results.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll continue the conversation on Derrick Henry. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Our Titans training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a pair of tickets to give away to 3ICE, North America's premier 3-on-3 ice hockey league, which will be at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to 3ICE at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, Derrick Henry, he's at 6,797 yards in his career, 65 touchdowns, two-time rushing title winner, and has rushed for over 2,000 yards in 1 year. So let's say, what is the baseline that he has to do this year for you to believe that he is still on a Hall of Fame trajectory? Is it a rushing title? Is it a certain yardage number?
I'd say a rushing title would be huge. Another rushing title after all that, extending the career, extending excellence and being the best at that position this year, that would strengthen his case a lot. But if he exceeds 1,000 yards, plays the whole season, they're good. Again, here's a question. What's more valuable? Derrick Henry wins a rushing title for a team that doesn't make the playoffs, or let's say Derrick Henry wins a rush title at the end of the playoffs, he gets shut down again, or Derrick Henry has like 1,200 yards, doesn't win the rushing title, but he goes off for like 150-plus in a playoff win after that. Which helps him more?
That's a great question. I think both help him tremendously. The playoffs, though, I'd probably go playoffs.
I mean, that's what we're – think back to those Patriots and Ravens games.
Well, it's interesting to think about. Like, I need to go look exactly where he stands on the playoff, I guess, rushing list. But you put together another couple of big games in the playoffs, all of a sudden he's starting to creep up on that list, I would think, just based on – the monster games. We talk about New England and Baltimore a lot. He had a monster game in that Kansas City game, too, the first time they made the playoffs with Mariota as quarterback.
Well, it's a great point, yes. I mean, he was not the starter. DeMarco, was kind of in and out, and he's banged up then, and Derrick Henry was just huge in that game. And that was one of the great early moments of a career that was kind of, he was a nice backup, but weren't sure what he was going to be, and it still took well into the next year for him to find everything. He is 17th right now on the playoff list with 732 rushing yards.
Yeah.
So give me your guess on who's number one. You didn't look this up while I did with my Twitter
feed. Number one on the all-time rushing list in the playoffs?
Yeah. And what would the number would be your guess?
Oh, man. I will go – good gracious. For some reason, Marcus Allen's coming to mind.
Well, that's a good guess, especially when you consider what he did to the Washington football team in that Super Bowl. It broke my heart. But he is fifth at 1347.
All right. I knew he was close. Emmitt Smith.
Yeah. And that, like, and one and two both make sense because you're just talking about massive playoff success for their teams. Emmitt Smith 1, Franco Harris 2.
Yep.
And now how about the number? Emmitt Smith's number as number 1, the all-time playoff rushing leader in the history of the NFL.
1680.
It's a good guess. 1586.
Okay.
So Derrick Henry's halfway there right now.
Yep.
Now, granted,
you got to hang around for more than one game in the playoffs at some point to catch up that list pretty quickly.
Yeah, like you want 800 more yards in the playoffs? Yeah, you're going to need some. That's the thing. I mean, if they just win at home the last 2 years, right, and he gets another crack both years,
yeah,
he's probably close to 1,000 right now. I mean, only 6 guys ever have rushed for 1,000 yards in the playoffs. It's Emmitt, Franco, then you got Thurman Thomas, which is interesting, but the Bills had some deep, deep runs. Yeah, Tony Dorsett. Then you're Marcus Allen. Of course, Terrell Davis is the sixth guy, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. Terrell Davis doesn't have the accumulation of yardage. He had a short career. Got 2 rings and 1,100 playoff yards. He was dominant in a short period of time, but also his team was dominant. you can't count on the team being dominant with Derrick Henry, but good playoff success. Like if he becomes the seventh guy in the history of the league to have 1,000-plus yards in the postseason, boy, that's somewhere high on the bullet points for his case for Canton, right?
I would think so. Like Caleb on the text line says, if he has no major injuries, Henry will be in the top two in the league in rushing by default of how good he is and how much the Titans use him. Just don't get injured and the stats will be there. This is from Caleb on the text line. I mean, honestly, I largely agree that, although I will say there's some hesitation because of the offensive line and the uncertainty there.
Yep.
But I do think Derrick Henry, look, it's not like Derrick Henry's not run the ball well in the past when Aaron Brewer's been there at left guard blocking. Like, he has. So I think Derrick Henry can overcome that. I think the Titans will probably be okay in the running game, but we'll see when it comes to the offensive line. The interesting part to me is some of this, there's always part of this that boils back down to Ryan Tannehill. Whatever category of the Titans you're talking about, there's always something that boils back down to Ryan Tannehill, because you brought it up. The last three playoff games, Derrick Henry has been shut down by his standards. The Kansas City game in 19, obviously the Baltimore game, and then last year, albeit him coming off the injury and maybe not totally at full strength, shut down against the Cincinnati Bengals as well. So if that happens again, like, it's pretty clear if the Titans make the playoffs, my guess is the game plan for whoever the team they play is probably going to be, hey, let's try to stop Derrick Henry and make Ryan Tannehill beat us. And you need Tannehill to be able to step up and beat him one time. And then maybe you give Derrick Henry more kicks at the can as the playoffs go along. But there's always some way for it to come back to Ryan Tannehill in this discussion.
Yeah, well, the reality of it is that they have benefited each other. Is it more Henry has benefited Tannehill? Yes, no question. And someone said that in the Sando quarterback tears piece. But let's also, if you want to go back to Derrick Henry, it figured out Derrick Henry, figured out what he was, had the huge finish to 2018, and offensive line and quarterback were part of why he had a rough start to the 2019 season. Put Tannehill in, and again, that Denver game, nobody could do anything, including
Derrick
Henry.
The worst offensive football game I've ever seen.
Yeah, nobody could do anything, including Derrick Henry. You put Tannehill in, all of a sudden, it all clicks, and Derrick Henry's numbers were outrageously better once that happened. So it's balance, and it's going hand in hand. You know, the Derrick Henry, I guess the one thing about the Kansas City game is, I don't have the box score in front of me, he had a good first half. They had a good first half. Tannehill did, and Henry did. I think he had 50-plus in the first half, but then he ends up with like 67, because part of that is because the Titans are now chasing a game. You know, Mahomes and company get separation on the scoreboard, and you're just, I mean, he was out of the game a lot of the.
He was. He got cracked a few times in the second half of that game.
Yes. But the other two games, the last two games, well, the Ravens game is really the one, because last game he's come off the injury, and you know, but the Ravens game is the one that really was like surprising, because they had been so dominant. The Ravens, you got to give them credit. They did a great job. Someone brought up Jamal Charles real quick on the text line, 57th overall. I mean, he is an example of one of the better backs of recent times. Retired in 2018, 7,500 yards. Really good player, but I mean, he's not any kind of factor. That's the thing. He's one spot behind Terrell Davis in the all-time rushing list.
Yeah,
75-63. Davis at 76-07. That shows you what postseason and team success mean to these individual pursuits.
Well, and we've talked about Derrick Henry and his run that he's been on. There is also, there's more than one path to get there. Like, he's had the run. He could also play for another 4 or 5 years, and the accumulation of his stats at that point probably would fall in line to Hall of Fame numbers as well, would be my guess, if he's relatively healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is, like, beyond the Hall of Fame stuff, 2 years left in the deal, 28 years old. Like, what if he goes for 1,500 the next 2 years, and he looks amazing, and he's 30? Like,
well, then the Hall of Fame discussion's over at that point. But
pretty much. Yeah. But, like, what's the discussion about the Titans and his future and their future and their offense and everything? I mean,
it's a great question.
Like, you don't want to let a guy get, like, you think back to, like, Eddie George going to the Cowboys, and this happens a lot, right? Later in the career for players, and it was time. But what if Derrick Henry's just dominant the next 2 years? How do you approach that?
I'm not putting it past him. I'm really not. Adam in Portland on the text line says, Derrick Henry is the best player to ever wear a Titans uniform. McNair was the toughest, but purely from a talent, performance, and attitude standpoint, Derrick is the best, and we need to appreciate what we're witnessing with him. This is coming from Adam from Portland.
Strong words. Strong words. But I think great analysis of talent, performance, attitude, all that. You know, he's a great face of the franchise. Best player to ever wear a Titans uniform.
I mean, it's pretty close. I guess I'd probably still give the edge to McNair. He did win a league MVP, but it's pretty close.
I think it's worth a discussion. I think it's McNair, but the scenario I just laid out, what if he has two more years?
It's probably Derek.
It gets harder to argue against.
Wes on the text line, that's a good question. What is the bigger what if in recent sports history here? Derrick Henry not getting hurt or Johansson and Fiala getting hurt in the Preds playoff run? The bigger what if?
Well, the thing I say definitely Johansson Fiala, because the what if of Derrick Henry not getting hurt, obviously the Hall of Fame what if there is huge. But the team what if, I mean, they got the one seed. And he was there in the playoff game. He wasn't totally himself, but he was there. And he would have been, even with the injury, he would have been part of another, who knows what another week would have meant for him, right?
Could have chased down a few more tackles on the Ryan Tannehill interceptions if he's a little healthier.
Yeah, that put that on your Hall of Fame tape. Yeah. Some blasts as a tackler. That was pretty good, man. That was pretty good. But to me, Johansson, like just in that Pittsburgh series, what if they have Johansson?
I've thought about that before.
Right? I mean, that's got to be it. You're talking about the final round. You're talking about the cup.
Well, especially you know, if he was playing the way
two wins from the cup.
If he kept playing the way that he played in that final or in that playoff run,
yeah.
I mean, people have a certain view of Johansson now, and I think he played pretty well for the most part last year. But the way he was playing in that run is why this contract exists to begin with. He's pretty darn
exactly.
Good.
And that matchup, and look, they did. Hey, I mean, Freddie. I mean, it's amazing the Sissons and Gaudreau and what they did, but like. They needed him so badly in that particular matchup.
They did. Now, one thing to keep in mind, we can go what-ifs all day. Pittsburgh also did not have Chris Letang for that entire series. So,
nah, he was old and washed. Just something. He was washed.
He just got a six-year deal. Good gracious.
Pretty amazing.
Get him deals left and right. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB to place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. The Yankees, still hot. Don't like them, but still hot in this baseball season. The Padres, big move yesterday. Juan Soto going over to San Diego. So maybe they're a team to keep an eye on as well. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Got a lot of your thoughts on Derrick Henry and the Titans to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So let's do that. Lance on the text line, by the way, says Bruce Matthews the whole way, best player in Titans history. See, this is where we get into semantics.
Yeah. So, Bruce Matthews, I think definitely you could make the case as the best player in the franchise history.
Yeah.
But most of his great years, of course, were with the Houston Oilers. So, right. how do you judge that? I think wasn't it framed like to wear a Titans uniform?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I got to disagree. Now he's still.
He was pretty good.
He was still good. Titans here, yeah, for sure. But the great years, the shoe-in Hall of Fame years, most of them in Houston. But well, that's always makes these discussions sticky.
And Liam on the text line says Randy Moss. Like I always run into this. God. Like every year, I put out my my all-time like Nashville Predators lineup, right? So like I go through the four lines, three D pairs.
Peter Forsberg. Well,
and every year I don't have Peter Forsberg on there, and people are like, "How in the world do you not have Peter Forsberg on there?" I was like, "He played 16 freaking games for the Predators and was hurt the whole time.
Yeah,
like he was still good. He played 16 games."
And I think that I don't know what the cut line is on that, but I think that's how you have to look at it because the Titans, man, between Randy Moss and Andre Johnson
and Julio Jones,
I mean those three, they. Find me the franchise boasting the better receivers and tell me that any of those guys would for 1 second have considered, you know, going into the Titans uniform. You know, I mean, it's just
– Well, it's
– Like a cup of coffee doesn't count.
Well, in you know, a cup of coffee is one thing, but, like, those guys have to be good when they're with your team.
That's
too.
What I mean. Yeah,
and
right,
none
right.
of the three of those guys were – like, Randy Moss was not good with the Titans. Andre Johnson had one shining moment – with a nice touchdown grab against the Detroit Lions, and then quickly decided to retire.
Gridiron Heroes was so close to being played
it was.
That day.
What probably lovely Ford Field. And I say this in all seriousness, probably the best throw of Mariota's career. It was a laser right in between traffic. It was great.
It was a big time throw, and I think it was a fourth down throw. I think it was.
Too.
It
so,
was the game, and he delivered.
Julio had one touchdown. He had one called back. So look, that's the other part of it too. Like at least Peter Forsberg with like the Preds part of it. He was a good player in the 16 games that he was here. So the three, not so much.
Yeah, those are easy to swat away. But, yeah, the Bruce Matthews one is it's interesting.
I got a text that says, here's a strong what if. What if the 2020 Titans had the offense they had paired with the 21 Titans defense? Are they winning the Super Bowl?
Well, they're awfully good.
I would keep in mind, I think the easy answer to that is to say, well, yeah, they got a pretty good chance.
Yes.
But I would also keep in mind, in the playoff game against Baltimore, defense wasn't really the problem. I mean, they could have tackled Lamar Jackson when he ran 75 yards, I guess.
Defense stepped up.
Defense actually, relative to expectations, played pretty well in that game. And Tannehill in the offense and Derrick Henry were the problem.
Basically, the defense gave up the one run to Lamar Jackson. The pass rush was alive that day. They were playing.
Now, what you get into with this discussion is if you had the defense paired with the offense the whole year, you're probably the number one seed that year, and you're not playing in the wild card game, which worked out really well for the Titans,
by the way, you were last year.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You had the 21 defense paired with the 21 offense, and you were the one seed. So win two games. But I hear you. I mean, that's the idea is to match those things up. Yeah, that Baltimore game, you basically had – one Lamar Jackson run, and then late in the game, Vrabel, interesting because he trusted the defense that had failed him all year, but they'd been playing well that day, and then they let him down, and the Ravens were able to just stack first downs and basically kill the clock almost all the way.
So it's interesting. I don't know. Be interested to see how you view that. So let's wrap up the Derrick Henry discussion here. We've kind of gone through what's on the line for him personally. What sort of season does he need to have for this Titans team to win the division? Is it a vintage closes in on 2,000 yard season from Derrick Henry? How would you answer, given everything that we know about the team at the moment, and some things we don't know about the team at the moment? What sort of season does Derrick Henry need to have in your mind for the Titans to beat out the Colts for the AFC South?
Some of the reason that I have been picking the Colts and thinking the Colts are going to win the division relates to the uncertainty around him. I don't think he has to have some kind of crazy year, but again, if he's available all year and he's healthy and he gets into that 1,300 to 1,500 yard range, I think the Titans going to be tough to beat. I'm holding strong with the Colts. I mean, it's helpful to hear that Matt Ryan is actually the GOAT.
He's Peyton Manning.
Yeah. It's good, you know, that makes me feel better about my pick that apparently Matt Ryan is the greatest quarterback ever per his camp performance. But I will say, watching Derrick Henry, and it's look, if you cover a team in the NFL and you're around them for camp, unless they're garbage, like you're probably going to see a bunch of players who look good, and you're like, okay, I could see how this team could be really good. Like, you get inflated expectations if you're around one team.
Oh, yeah, Lions riders are all over.
Oh, there's so much excitement.
All over it.
Boy. Aiden Hutchinson. But I got to say, watching Derrick Henry out here, it has given me a little pause on that Colts pick. He's one of the main reasons, because – and the thing with the offensive line is – I think pass protection is still by far the bigger question than run block. I think Dylan Raiden's, if he's the right tackle, I think that he'll be an asset in the run game, and I think there's a chance that you've got an upgrade over Questenberry. But can he, you know, can he pass block
right
on a consistent basis? And I think with Aaron Brewer, that athleticism, I think that will be an asset for them, you know, running outside zone on that side, but then at times – you know, how does he handle, especially the bigger D tackles in there, and in particular, like in obvious passing situations?
Joe, as we close out the program today, today is a big day in the life of this radio station, particularly the life of this radio show. It is the birthday, 45th birthday of Tom Brady, your favorite quarterback of all time. Do you have any words that you would like to send Brady's way today as he celebrates your number 45 on this earth?
Huh, well, I was not prepared for you to ask me this question. So much, I mean, emotions come flooding.
I'm
sure, you know, it's one of those things, like, I have so many glowing things to say about Tom Brady. I don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
But I'm basically just trying to stall until the show ends, which is about 5 seconds from now.
Shout out to Dan Fouts. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Chase Willie and D-Mace coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.